written by David in the latter part of his life. Psalm 37, beginning with the first word in the first verse. Fret not yourself because of evildoers. Do not be envious of wrongdoers, for they will soon fade like the grass and wither like the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and befriend faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will act. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not yourself over one who prospers in his way, over the man who carries out evil devices. Why do the wicked seemingly prosper while the righteous suffer? That is the question of the ages. Hundreds of years before the birth of Christ, an aged David asked that question. That is still a question in 2019 America that people are asking. Why is it that the wicked seem to prosper while the righteous suffer? Let me answer that question. There were two farmers. One of them was an unbeliever, and the other one was a Christian. Their farms were side by side each other. And they both worked very diligently on the farm, planting their crops, caring for their crops. But every harvest, the unbeliever's crop would be a bumper crop, more than he could deal with, and made all kind of money, while the Christian's harvest would come in and it was barely enough to sustain himself and his family. And this was the same story every year, year after year. The Christian farmer would work just as hard and just as long as the unbeliever, but every year in October, when the harvest would come in, the unbeliever's harvest would just be bountiful, and the believers, the Christians, wouldn't be that much. And so the Christian farmer becomes so disgusted that he goes to the preacher and he explains the situation. Every year it's the same. I work as hard as he do. I labor as hard as he does. What is going on here? His harvest comes in and it's bountiful. Mine comes in and I can barely keep the thing going. Can you answer the question? And the preacher says, I can answer the question. You need to remember this. The preacher said the answer is you have to remember God doesn't settle all of his accounts in October. That's the answer. That's the answer. God doesn't always settle up with everybody every October. Watch how David starts this. He says, fret not yourself because of evil doers. David is saying, listen, don't get yourself all worked up because of all the things that you're seeing in this world. Don't you let that light your fire. Don't do that. Look down at the middle of verse 7. Fret not yourself over one who prospers in the way, over the man who carries out evil devices. Listen, David is saying, listen, don't get yourself all in a turmoil. Don't you get lit up over the fact that you look out into the world and there is just seemingly injustice on every hand. It just doesn't look right. It's broke. What ought to be isn't, and injustice is everywhere. Listen to me, brethren. David says twice, don't get worked up over what you see in the world as injustice. And the reason not to fret about all of it, the reason is down in verse 13. But the Lord laughs at the wicked, for he sees that his day is coming. Don't fret about what you see. Don't fret about injustice, because one day God will fix everything that's broke. Don't fret about this. Don't fret about this. We look out into the world and it seems like everybody's going in the wrong direction. Seems like the world's spinning in the wrong direction. It just doesn't look right. It isn't right. And we get all worked up and we fret over all this. And David says, God is laughing. You know why? Because God's looking out thinking, look, you think I can handle this? Look at me. I want you to get this contrast. If you don't get nothing else, I want you to get this contrast. We are here and we are all tore up. We fret and heaven's laughing. Boy, there's a contrast. Well, I'm worried to death. Wonder what God thinks about this. He laughing. You think God can't handle this? All that you see going on out there? And do you think he can't handle it whenever he gets ready to handle it? Well, then what are you all fretting about? Now, let me tell you the principle in this song. Here's the principle. The overall writing principle in Psalm 37 is this. Life is not just something that as God's people we survive. Life is something where we ought to thrive. Brethren, look, not survive, but thrive. Not survive, but thrive. And in this psalm, the first half dozen verses, David sets out four truths here. There are four things set out here, and if you will remember them, you will not just survive, you can thrive. And here they are. Number one, David says, trust in the Lord. Look at verse 3. Trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Look at the middle of verse 5. Trust in him. Now, the word trust there means rely. Rely on God. It's the idea, and I love this, it's the idea of just put your feet down, put your weight down, And don't worry about whether or not it's going to hold you. You've stepped out on things, you thought, you know what, I'm not sure this is going to hold me. A lot of people do that with their life about God. They're not sure. Can I put all my weight down? Listen to me. Trust in the Lord. Rely on the Lord. Put your weight down on the Lord. He can hold the load. Rely on the Lord. Now, here's the problem with relying on the Lord. The problem with relying on the Lord is that most people live their life trusting and relying on something other than the Lord. There are those who don't have their trust in the Lord, but they have their trust in riches. Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 28 says, "He who trusts in riches will fall." Now let me give you an example in the Bible of somebody who trusted in riches and fell. That's the rich fool in Luke 12. I'm going to tear down my barns and I'm going to build bigger barns. And this stuff is going to take care of me. And after I tear down my old barns and build bigger barns, and after I get all my stuff housed, I'm going to sit back and I'm going to make my ease. And for many years, I'm just going to eat, drink, and be merry. And God said to him, "You're a fool. You're a fool. Listen, you put your weight down on what you have. You got your weight down on the wrong thing, because that's going to snap in a minute here. This night your soul is required of you, and these things that you have, who shall they be?" Listen, listen, trust in the Lord. If you don't, the rich fool fell because he trusted in his riches. Let me give you an example of trusting in your riches, somebody outside the Bible. Remember Bernie Madoff? Remember him? He got everybody's money. He got everybody's money. He had so much money. He had so many. I'm talking about hundreds of millions of dollars. He thought he was insulated and nobody could get to him. And what do you know? He's exactly right. Can't nobody get to him because he's in jail. Some people, listen, trust in the Lord. Rely on the Lord. The problem is that some people trust in their riches. The problem with other people is that they put their trust in military power. Well, that's where I'm going to rely on the military to take care of this country. You better not. You better not. Psalm 20 and verse 7 is the verse. Some trust in chariots and others trust in horses. Chariots and horses in that context is talking about military strength. Some put their trust in chariots and horses, but then the verse finishes by saying, "But we will put our trust in the Lord." Some trust riches, some trust military power. Other people put their trust and their reliance just upon themselves. Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 26, "He who trusts himself is a fool." Now, listen to me. There's nothing wrong with riches. There's nothing wrong with military power. Especially when other countries start shooting at us. There's nothing wrong with having self-confidence and a healthy attitude about yourself. There's nothing wrong with any of them. But if you take any of them, and if that's what you're relying on to get you through, you're going to be disappointed when it's over. The way you thrive in life and not just survive in life is to trust in the Lord. Now, why should we trust in the Lord? David says, this is what you do. Trust in the Lord. All right, but why do we do that? You know why we do it? Because of his trustfulness, his truthfulness. His truthfulness. Listen, there are thousands of promises in the Bible. According to some sources, there's 5,000 promises in the Bible. According to other sources, there are as many as 7,000 promises in the Bible. And God, he will keep every one of them. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises as some are slack. Listen, you ought to trust the Lord because he will never lie to you, and every promise he ever makes to you, he's going to keep. Trust him because of his truthfulness. Trust him because of his power. Brethren, there is no power on this earth that can match the power of the one who we ought to have our trust in. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and earth. There it is. Revelation 19 and verse 6. Hallelujah, the Lord God Almighty reigns. Trust him. Rely on him. Put your weight down on him and quit worrying about whether or not he's going to hold you. Just trust him. Why? Because he's never ever going to tell a lie, and he's made thousands of promises. Why? Because of his power. Why should I trust him? Because of his eternal nature. Psalm 90 and verse 1. From everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Do you know what that means? From everlasting to everlasting. That means God never had a beginning, and God will never have an end. Now, you and I are never going to have an end. But you and I had a beginning. But God never did. The eternal nature one said, listen, trust him. Brethren, don't just survive, strive here. Trust him. Trust him. You say, now follow me, now. If I trust him, are there any benefits that come from trusting him? Yes, sir, and yes, ma'am. Yes, sir, and yes, ma'am. What benefits will come to me if I rely on him? One of the benefits that will come to me in trusting him, one of those benefits is peace of mind. Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 3. They who trust in the Lord will have perfect peace. That's what I want. That's what I want. I'm going to rely on the Lord. And what that means is I'm going to let somebody else worry about what they think I ought to worry about. The benefit from trusting in the Lord is peace of mind. Brethren, the benefit from trusting in the Lord is strength. Now, I don't have any strength of my own. I don't have any strength of my own. But bless God, I don't need it. Paul said in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I don't have any strength of my own, but I don't need my own if I'm functioning on his strength. The benefit from trusting him is peace of mind. The benefit from trusting him is strength. The benefit from relying on God is he will direct your path if you trust him. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean upon him. Verse 6 says, and he will direct your path. How do we thrive and not just survive? Trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. My watch quit working. Number two. Delight yourself in the Lord. Look at verse 4. Delight yourself in the Lord. I don't want to just survive. I just don't want to barely hang on. I want to thrive. I want the abundant life. That's what I want. How am I going to get this? I'm going to trust in the Lord, and then I'm going to delight in the Lord. I'm going to delight in. What's that mean? I'm going to take pleasure. Now, quickly, turn over to Psalm 119. Turn to Psalm 119. Psalm 119 is the longest chapter in the Bible. Psalm 119, the longest chapter in the Bible, is a chapter that is entirely devoted to the Bible, to itself. And in over 170 verses in this one chapter, there's only like one or two verses where the Bible or the law, the statutes, it's called different things, isn't recorded, where it doesn't say anything. This is the Bible speaking of itself. Now, here is how we ought to take the scripture. Psalm 119, look at verse 16. I will delight, there's our word, in your statutes and will not forget your word. Look at verse 35. Lead me in the paths of your commandments, for I delight in it. Look at verse 47. For I find my delight in your commandments, which I love. Look at verse 94. If your law had not been my delight, I would have perished in my afflictions. And this just goes on and on and on. Listen, we need to delight. We need to take pleasure in the Word of God. Now, how does one take pleasure in the Word of God? By doing what it says. Now, watch the verse. Watch the verse. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 3. Watch the verse. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. Now listen to the rest of it. This is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. That is, they're not a burden. Brethren, this shouldn't be a burden. This should be a delight. Delight in the Lord. Listen, there are some people, the Word of God isn't a delight, it's a burden to them. Coming to church just wears them out. Sermons are boring. A Bible class never going to end. He ain't never going to shut up. Why don't he go home? Why don't he let us go home? We ain't never going home. Listen to me. You got it? But that's the way some people's attitude is. That's the way it is. That's their attitude. You want the abundant life? You want what God promised? You want what God wants you to have? then there are some things you have to do. God isn't going to grab you by the nape of the neck and say, all right, here it is. God will lead, but bless God, you got to get up and follow. So what am I going to do? I'm going to trust, I'm going to rely on him. And if this don't work, then I'm just going down with it. I'm going to delight. I'm going to take pleasure in the word of God, and I'm going to do it by doing what he says. Fix your attitude about it, and you can do it. Number three. In Psalm 37, to thrive and not just survive, David says, commit your way to the Lord, verse 5. Commit your way to the Lord. Now, a lot of people are committed to a lot of different things. But this says, commit yourself to the Lord. Now, in order to commit ourselves to the Lord, there are three things that are involved in this. Number one, we have to commit our past to the Lord. If I'm going to commit, I got to commit my past to him. Now, how do we do that? We commit our past to the Lord by doing whatever it is he said we have to do in order to get our sins forgiven. That's how you commit your past to the Lord. When you do what he says to do to have your sins forgiven, what are you doing? You are committing your past to the Lord and saying, Lord, this is yours now. So how do you do that? On the day of Pentecost, Peter told the Jewish world that had assembled there in verse 36 that God has made this Jesus whom you have crucified Lord and Christ. He's the Messiah. He is the Lord. He will speak and we'll do what he says. So how do I get there? Peter said, repent. And be immersed on the authority of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. Now, we're not going to argue about it. We're just going to ask this. Have you done that? If you've done that, you've committed your past to him. If you haven't done that, your past is not committed to him, and you're not committed to it. The second thing involved in committing ourselves to the Lord is commit your present to him. Your right now, your right here, I'm committing it to the Lord. Well, how do I do that? 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12. Paul said, for I know in whom I believe, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep what I have committed to him against the day that's coming. Commit to the Lord by committing your past to him. Commit to the Lord by committing your present to him. And you commit to the Lord by committing your future to him. I'm giving him my future now. What am I going to do with it? Psalm 23 and verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because you are with me. You are with me. Listen to me. Too many unhappy Christians. Too many long-faced Christians. Too many Christians are tied a knot at the end of the rope and holding on to it, and that's fine when you have to do it, but if you've been holding that knot for 5 years, something wrong. I want this. Listen, it's not wrong to say, this is what I want when you're talking about your relationship with God, and God is saying, look, here's what I want you to have. I want what God wants me to have. Trust in Him. Delight in Him. Take pleasure in Him. Bless God. Have fun with it. Commit yourself to Him, past, present, and future. It's taken care of. I've made the reservation. Quickly, one more. Rest in the Lord. Look at verse 7. Be still before the Lord and wait. That is, rest patiently for Him. That's hard for us. Just being still is hard for us. Ours is an age of stress. Amen? We worry about everything. We wake up, ain't got nothing to worry about, and we start worrying about that. I worry when there's something to worry about. And all I worry when there ain't nothing to worry about, because when there ain't nothing to worry about, I know real soon there will be something else to worry about. Well, you just in a mess. You in a mess. Listen, rest. There's only one place you get rest, here and now. Matthew 11:28. Come unto me, all ye who are labor and heavy laden, and I will give you misery. I will give you stress. I will drive you out of your mind. I'll give you rest. Well, is that what you want? Then why are you looking somewhere else for it? Amen? Rest in the Lord. Rest in the Lord. Well, if the rest is in the Lord, then I got to go to the Lord to get the rest. You can have rest here and now. You can have rest when your world is turned upside down. Why am I going to do that? Because I'm trusting in Him. I'm delighting in Him. I'm committed to Him. And I'm going to rest in Him. And you know what? You can have eternal rest there. Revelation 14:13. Blessed are they that die in the Lord. And then John said, I was told to write it down. Blessed, says the Spirit. Blessed are they that die in the Lord. For they will rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. That's eternal rest. That's eternal rest. Look, we're too upset about too many things that don't matter. It's easy to misunderstand this, but in the context of this sermon, it will help you not to misunderstand this. God wants you to be saved. That's just a fact. God wants you to go to heaven. That's a fact. Now, let me tell you something. I believe that God wants you to enjoy the trip there. You think God wants you miserable and everybody out there happy? You can go back home and start reading the Bible again. Start in Genesis and just don't go to bed till you get through Revelation. Amen? Look, thank you, dear. Listen, don't just survive. Thrive in this. I'm going to rely on the Lord. Well, this is just messed up. Then it's going to be messed up, but I'm going to rely on Him. And if it breaks, it'll break with me relying on him. I'm going to take pleasure in this. I like this. I like being here. You like being here? There's some of you ought to inform your face that you're enjoying yourself then. But yeah, delight yourself. Commit your way to the Lord. Commit your past to him. Commit your present to him. Commit your future to him. Reservation is sealed. I'm done with this. I'm done with that. Somebody else worry about all this. And then rest in the Lord. Amen. You need to respond. Do it right now as together we stand and as we sing.